Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which is a tale of spiritual awakening, spiritual communication, intuition, healing, and miracles, and a guide to soul awareness. Today, I welcome Kari Wagner Peck, author of Not Always Happy, a memoir about adopting and raising a son with Down syndrome that celebrates the quirkiness of life. Hello, Kari, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you so much.
Kari, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, my guests and I share intimate mind and heart opening awareness of the true nature of both our physical and spiritual energies and how we can activate through that knowledge a clearer perception of who we are, what life is really about, and how to create the best version of our lives. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Kari Wagner Peck, a writer, blogger, and freelance development consultant who has been a professional advocate for homeless, incarcerated, and immigrant individuals, and has worked as a documentary videographer, is a participant with her husband Ward and their young son in a movement that promises profound changes in our world's understanding of people with intellectual disabilities. Kari, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their own childhood, their earliest beginnings, and remember a person, a place, or event that may have shown either them or others the values and goals that were important to them and still may be working very intimately in their lives as an adult.
You know, what came to my mind was Miss McKinnon. She wasn't even my second grade teacher, but she radiated, she just radiated goodness and light. And she was like this lovely woman, you know, with soft white hair up, you know, dressed very prim and proper. And I mean, I don't even know if I actually had a conversation with her. I just was in awe of her, like the way she talked to people, the way she walked. You know, I realized this was a significant person. And she retired during that year. And everyone, I mean, people, she had taught for like 50 years. I think my mom had her. And so she, the newspaper did a big story on her. And I remember I got the report.
Isn't that a wonderful story? Because she was like a guide to you.
Right. And I just knew by example, just
right,
the way she behaved.
You felt it. You actually felt the energy. And you were motivated to want to express that kind of compassion and goodness through your own life. And that's a wonderful, wonderful story, because people are not randomly in our lives. Nothing's happening randomly. Every event, every person, every location, every job has meaning and is part of our life plan. So thank you very much for sharing that, because that is wonderful. So there it was. You were beginning at a very young age to become aware of where to put your attention, where to put your hopes, where to put your energies in formulating a life of goodness and well-being for yourself and for others. So I think that's fantastic. Let's go on to tell us about your decision, along with your husband, to adopt a child and something perhaps about the main foster care system where you live.
You know, I was 49 when Thorin moved in, but the few years before when we were trying to figure out how to become parents, you know, we briefly looked at fertility counseling, but I really didn't want to be pregnant. And then we looked at international adoption, and realized we couldn't afford it. And foster care is free. And so we went that route, and we said we wanted a boy 2 to 7 who had been terminated from his parental rights had been terminated, meaning there was no chance we could lose him in the process, and a child without a disability. And that all went out the window.
Right.
We got a call one night.
You were very clear about what your requirements were. But you see, the universe had a different message for you, right?
Totally. Yes. I mean, we came home. My husband said, listen, you know, we've got this voicemail. I want you to listen to it. And we stood next to each other. And it was our foster care worker, and she said, oh, I met this beautiful boy today. You know, he's a great kid. He's 2 years old. And he has Down syndrome. And I was like, did she say Down syndrome? And we listened to it 7 times until we were absolutely positively sure she said Down syndrome. And this very weird, this feeling came over both of us where we just felt really calm. You know, the response wasn't like, what the heck is she thinking? It was more like, oh, this feels okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things my husband's talked about is, you know, everyone has something, and we know what his something is. And we really talked about that a bit. You know, we all have something that makes us more vulnerable in the world.
Absolutely. And, you know how often I say to people, there's no one on the planet who is perfect. There's no perfect. And there's no one who's normal. What is normal anyhow?
Right.
We're
right.
all so unique, right. And we have such special needs to really love and learn more about ourselves and the world and be more compassionate. So absolutely, that thinking is wonderful.
So yeah, I mean, we just decided this feeling is so convincing and so grounding, let's just go with it. And so we called her back the next day and said, okay. And I think that's, you know, rather than trying to analyze it.
But it still wasn't very simple. The system was not very easy to maneuver. You still had a lot of issues to move through in order for Thorin to come. And I love the name, by the way. It reminds
me powerful.
It reminds me of Thor. They make movies about him.
Oh my gosh, he's my son's favorite.
Right. I love those movies also. And my son has diabetes, so he has a dog, a special dog that helps him.
Oh.
And his name is Trajan.
So I
love these very noble, powerful names. But let's go on. So you had some issues, arranging for him to come into your home, and you saw how the system worked. So tell us something about that.
Aside from saying we wouldn't take a child with a disability, you know, as I said, we said we wouldn't take a child who hadn't been, whose parental rights hadn't been terminated. And after we found out that his rights hadn't, that when we were taking him, we were taking the risk that he could be returned to his biological family, even though he hadn't been with them for about 14 or 15 months. And, you know, we were told, well, no one will think badly of you if you wait until all the court stuff is settled, which would have meant several more months of not meeting him. And, you know, we just decided, you know, we're all in. You know, he's our son. It really felt like it, and that we would live with that that melting into him and loving him and also being fearful, that we would have to accept both things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, and also, I mean, actually, it was worse for him because we were the third home he was in. So it was kind of easy to put our feelings aside. Because here's this person who's going through so much more than us,
And that's in his very short life.
Right.
He had
Right. So it's
already
hard.
experienced abandonment, and he had already experienced change,
Right.
and so you had to love him even more, and you did.
Yeah, and you know, right, and you can't, I think you probably realize this too, as a parent, you know, you have to kind of, you have to put your fears aside and focus on the child.
Absolutely, yeah. Many people are not able to do that, unfortunately.
Right. Right.
But it is the best way for everybody. But let's go on to what problems did you have with the local school system, and why did you decide to homeschool your son?
You know, we wanted Thorne to be in an inclusive classroom, which means a regular classroom with supports. And we were, my husband and I were, one, too naive and trusting and ignorant. We thought if a school said, yes, we can, you know, accommodate that, it was because they believed philosophically in it. And what we found out is it's really, they have to say that legally because of disability law. But they don't legally have to have a plan for how they would do that. How would you include a child with Down syndrome in a regular class? And so Thorne was really a segregated individual in a class of 22 other students. I mean, we found out he was sat at the back of the class doing separate work, watching his classmates in front of him as a group. And it was, you know, it became, the school couldn't see that Thorne was falling apart. And I don't think we could either, because we believe so strongly, like, what do you do if it doesn't work? And Thorne became another person. You know, he was sick all the time. His stomach hurt. He didn't want to go to school. He was very unhappy. And we just decided to flip the script, you know. And again, Cheryl, I said I would never be a stay-at-home parent. I would never homeschool. I mean, like, everything I've always said I wouldn't do. I said I wouldn't marry my husband because he was 14 years younger than me. So, but we were like, you know, it isn't Thorne's job to
make
this school better.
Let me just say something, Kari.
Okay.
The universe hears what you're most afraid of, what you don't want, and what you do want, and responds in kind. And you just said that with marrying a husband who was a little younger than you, adopting a child that was not according to the criteria that you laid out, and the school and staying at home to homeschool him. Everything that you laid out came to be because it was what you really needed to experience with good nature and joy and love to enhance you, not to take anything away, but to give you more. And I am so glad you said that, because I want our listeners to know what you are most afraid of or don't want will also be given to you, because the universe doesn't discriminate and say, well, I think this is good and that's not good, and this, they just give you what you put your attention on. When I wrote my first book, Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, my editor, Mary Corson, was the mother of 8 children, and her youngest had Down syndrome. And she was very much the product of a loving Christ consciousness mindset and experiences from the sublime to the ridiculous, yet trusted and loved life just as it unfolded. And you, in your discussion so far, have shown exactly that. So let's go on to an amazing or amusing story about Thorin, your son, and perhaps a challenging or heartbreaking story.
Okay, well, one of the things I talk about in the book is Thorin went through a period of kleptomania.
That's funny.
You know, I think a lot of kids go through that phase where they're just like, oh, I want this, and I'm going to take it. And he went through a rather long phase of that. And at that time, he was being observed so acutely because of his Down syndrome. I didn't want anyone to know he was also stealing things because I knew they'd misinterpret it and not see it as typical behavior. Well, so he took various objects, and he would often come to work with me after school and hang out with the receptionist. And she had the master key, which was like a 6-inch bowling ball on a 25-inch chain. Well, he took it, and she figured it out because I told her all these stories about him taking things. So it's 3 days now before she confronts me with it because she feels bad about suggesting my child's a thief. They're going to have to rekey the locks to 30 offices. And when she said it, I knew he'd done it. And so I had to get that key back from him. And it turned into such a kooky, like I was the bad cop all alone. I didn't have a good cop to play off from. I mean, we eventually got it back, but he saw it and liked it and hid it in his little booty bag, his backpack. And then when he started public school, he started taking everything out of Lost and Found, which caused a lot of problems for us.
It really shouldn't have. He was just amused and exploring
exactly.
The world, and most people shouldn't have difficulty with that. And maybe by talking about this now, some of our listeners will understand he didn't do it intentionally to hurt anyone or to be bad. He just was following his own intuitive instinct. And
he didn't do it because he had Down syndrome. He did all children do. They go through these little phases.
Yes.
Well, I even got confused. About a month after they found out he was taking things out of Lost and Found, I was a volunteer at the school. And they had all these racks of clothes where I was greeting people and giving them the program. And I was like, this is awesome. People are bringing in clothes. So I picked out a whole bunch of things for Thorin. And a parent came up to me and she goes, oh, your son had a lot of clothes here, huh? And I said, I thought these were giveaways. And she goes, that's Lost and Found. Like, oh my God.
All right.
I did the same thing.
Well, Lost and Found is almost giveaway because most people never come back. Anyhow, for it, right? So it's not a big deal. All right. But let's go on to something else. It seems to me, and I'm sure to our listeners, that you and your husband reacted differently than some parents might have when Thorin came into your life. Can you just tell us simply where your thoughts and focus were?
When you bring somebody in who's 2.5 that's been in 2 other households and has had trauma in their life, I think your focus is on just being as normal and natural and accepting, like accept that there's going to be bells and whistles. You know, we all have them. We all, when we're in a tough spot, we have behaviors and thoughts and feelings, and we just decided we were going to ride whatever came our way. The focus was on Thorin feeling protective and safe and to just not make that big of a deal over things.
Well, I think you both embrace the most important thing there is to embrace in life. That's acceptance. Allowance,
yes.
And surrendering,
yeah,
to a higher plan, and to do that, you allow greater love and happiness into your life, and that's what you were aiming for, and that's what you were able to do. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I talk about that, and I would approach a fine way to view life and the uniqueness of every living soul on the planet. And I wrote, each of us is unique, and we are on different karmic and energetic pursuits. As we learn to apply energetic laws and use them more consistently, we will help create a more harmonious world. Those who understand and live by these laws of energy will have less friction and fewer confrontations in their relationships. Individuals practicing the higher laws of spirit may share this expanding wisdom and state of harmony with others and be an influence for change as their behaviors and actions exhibit a positive energy state within and around them. Of course, with great knowledge comes a greater responsibility to exchange these ideas with those who will listen. And that's one reason you were having trouble in the school and chose to take Thorin home for educating, because you didn't want him to lose this divine connection to his own inner soul wisdom and his joy for life. And you didn't want him to be hurt by people who might not yet understand what we're talking about here.
Yeah, because he, you know, he went through a transition period when we started homeschooling that was in some ways just as painful. And then what happened is Thorin came back. You know, he wasn't sick. He wasn't unhappy. He was curious and energetic and just thirsty for learning. And I think he became even more Thorin than we'd ever seen. You know, his confidence just skyrocketed. And you realize, you're right, when people are allowed, and I like that you said allowance, because when we allow that, any one of us becomes who we're meant to be. And I think that's what that process did. He could just be himself and know he's not going to be judged.
Absolutely. And that is all life is about. It's about being, becoming more of who you already are in your soul energy, and not doing or meeting other people's expectations or buying into fear and negative emotions. Absolutely. I want to thank you, Kari Wagner-Peck, for your sharing of values that have brought much happiness to your own family, and for letting others know that simply by living with dignity and trust in the larger fabric of soul energy, we can find happiness and individual successful life. To purchase this amazing story of love, go to KariWagnerPeck.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we once again come to realize that there is not one way to find the extent of our heart's capacity to share compassion and love, and not one type of family to meet the needs of our very diverse and unique human brotherhood. We see that parenting a child with a disability is really no different than parenting any other child. What may be different are the attitudes and obstacles that are encountered on the journey, and that we as United Community for Holistic Health and Growth need to improve. This is not merely a story of raising a child with Down syndrome, for I believe everyone who is born into this world has exactly what they need to complete their own pre-designed soul itinerary of destiny. And when we see others with the energy to grow, learn, and love, we can look past our disabilities or differences in the physical world and find the oneness of our eternal life force energy that brings us together in truth of who we are, what life is really all about, and what happens to this energy or soul being at the end of our physical life. This is a story of divine intervention and how we meet the people we are supposed to in order for us each to have the greatest opportunities to find our true soul presence. Kari tells the story of being sent to a new pediatrician after a pulmonologist diagnosed Thorin with asthma. And Kari wrote, Hello, Thorin. I'm Dr. Peggy. After the exam, Dr. Peggy turned her attention to me. The entire tone of the exam was positive toward Thorin. It was clear she assumed Thorin was competent and could participate. Toward the end of the exam, she asked if we could talk privately. I must have looked alarmed. He's okay. He's great. I wanted to tell you that I know Thorin. From before, I asked? Yeah, from before. I was a resident at the hospital when he was first brought in. I was part of his care team. He was so sick. He was a fighter. Everyone fell in love with him. When we found out he was going home, we were worried. And when I saw his name on my schedule today, I was so happy. I was relieved. I never stopped thinking about Thorin. You're supposed to be his doctor. I know, she responded. This story is remarkable to me, for I have found that there is a bigger plan surrounding each of us, and all of us, and nothing in life is random, and sometimes difficult experiences bring us together with those who will help us grow and move through this life more comfortably. As a Reiki practitioner, I have had many children and adults come to me in unusual ways, and I like to think someone up there loves us and just wants to help us find those who can make life better. Kari and I would have you venture out of standard approved ways of looking at family and life and to see that in the unusual circumstances, hardships, or challenges, we may find our greatest opportunity for both human and divine growth. Engage it all without judgment and with hope that if we ask and allow for help, we will have it. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read about and listen to real people finding the purpose of life and engendering within themselves greater joy, health, and love through compassionate care for others. And trust that life is more than the physical, and each of us is so very much more than we appear to be. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.